in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to come your way again at our weekly Bible study as we continue to look at the doctrine of the application of redemption. Last week, we had the Youth Week Bible study as the youth pastor ministered to us. I have no doubt that God blessed us and they will continue to bless us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Today, we are looking at a very important topic, sanctification, growing in likeness to Christ. By now, I believe the family will have read the Bible background for today, which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. But let me read again for the purpose of emphasis. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23, it says, "Now may the God of peace sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May the Lord sanctify you completely. That is the prayer. Now, some questions that we'll address are, how do we grow in Christ, in Christian maturity? What are the blessings of the Christian maturity? What do we derive when we choose to grow as Christians? Sanctification is a progressive work of God and man, and that makes us more and more free from sin and like Christ in our actual lives. Probably we may begin with trying to look at the difference between justification, that is the doctrine we've examined before, and sanctification. And these are the few things we can observe. One, justification is legal standing, while sanctification is internal condition. Justification is a once for all time. God justified us once, and by that singular act, we are justified. But sanctification is a continuous thing. It continues throughout life entirely. We are being sanctified day by day. Now, justification is God's work, totally God's work. There's nothing we have done to get justified. But sanctification demands that we cooperate with God. There is always a human divine cooperation for sanctification to take place. And justification makes us look as if we are perfect in this life, but sanctification means we are not perfect and we are actually work in progress. While justification is the same in all Christians, sanctification differs from Christian to Christian. It depends on what level you have reached in your walk with the Master as you surrender to Him day by day. Although the initial saving faith by which we are justified occurs only at the time of our conversion, faith and repentance do continue throughout our lives as well. Similarly, although regeneration, justification, and adoption are instantaneous one-time events that occur at the beginning of the Christian faith, the result of all of these continuing throughout our lives, we continue to have the spiritual life we receive from generation, the legal standing we receive from justification, and the membership of God's family that we receive from adoption. Let's now quickly look at the three stages of sanctification in the life of a believer. Number one, sanctification has a definite beginning at regeneration. It has a definite moral change in our lives. There is always a time in our lives, probably at the point of our regeneration. For Paul talks about this when he said, washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit. That is in Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Once we have been born again, we cannot continue to sin as a habit or a pattern of life. That is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Because the power of a new spiritual life within us will continue to keep us from yielding to a life of sin. This initial moral change is the first stage in sanctification. In this sense, there is some overlap between regeneration and sanctification. For this moral change is actually a part of our regeneration. But when we view it from the standpoint of moral change within us, we can always see it as the first stage in sanctification. Paul looks back on a completed event when he says to the Corinthians, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God." Hallelujah. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. Similarly, in Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul also referred to Christians as all those who are sanctified. This initial step in sanctification involves a definite break from the ruling power and the love of sin to that the believer is no longer ruled or dominated by sin and no longer loves to sin. Paul says, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. For sin we have no dominion over you." Hallelujah. That is Romans 6, verses 11 and 14. Paul says that Christians have been set free from sin. Romans 6, 18. In this context, to be dead to sin or to be set free from sin involves the power to overcome acts or patterns of sinful behavior in one's life. To be dead to the ruling power of sin means that we as Christians, by virtue of the power of the Holy Spirit and the resurrection life of Jesus Christ working within us, we have power to overcome temptations and the enticements of sin. Sin will no longer be our master, as once it was before we became Christians. In practical terms, this means that we must affirm two things to be true. On the other hand, we will never be able to say, "I am completely free from sin," because our sanctification will never be completed. But on the other hand, a Christian should never say, "This sin has defeated me." No sin should defeat us, and we must never give up. "I have had a bad temper for 37 years, and I will never have one until the day I die. And people are just going to have to put up with me the way I am." That is not what a Christian should say. You must change. The process of sanctification demands a change in our lives. To say this is to say that sin has gained dominion. It is to allow sin to remain in our bodies and to reign in our bodies. It is to admit defeat. It is to deny the truth of the scripture, which tells us, "You also must consider yourself dead to sin and be alive to God in Christ Jesus." Romans 6:11. It is to deny the truth of scripture that says, "Sin will not have dominion over you." This initial break with sin then involves a reorientation of our desires, so that we no longer have a dominant love for sin in our lives. So sanctification has the first stage, a definite beginning at our regeneration. Let's go to the second aspect. Sanctification increases throughout life. Even though the New Testament speaks about a definite beginning to sanctification, it also sees it as a process that continues throughout our Christian lives. Although Paul says that to his readers that they've been set free from sin, Romans 6:18, and they are dead to sin and made alive to God, Romans 6:11, he nonetheless recognizes that sin remains in their lives. So he tells them not to let it reign and not yield to it, Romans 6:12-13. Their task, therefore, as Christians, is to grow more and more in sanctification, just as they previously grew more and more in sin. Just as you once yielded your members to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now, as members of Christ's body, yield your members, your part of the body, to righteousness for sanctification. Paul says that throughout the Christian life, we all have been changed into the likeness of God from one degree of glory to another. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are progressively becoming more and more like Jesus in his own likeness. as we go on in our Christian lives. Therefore, he says, forgetting those things which lie behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. This is the context of saying that he is not already perfect, but he presses on to achieve all of the purposes for which Christ has saved him. It is the expectation of all the New Testament authors that our sanctification will increase throughout our Christian lives. And that takes us to the third aspect. Sanctification is completed at death for our souls when the Lord returns for our bodies. Because there is sin that still remains in our hearts, even though we become Christians. Romans 6, 12 to 13. 1 John 1, 8. Our sanctification will never be completed in this life. But once we die and go to be with the Lord, then our sanctification is completed in one sense. For our souls are set free from indwelling sin and they are made perfect. The author of Hebrews says that when we come into the presence of God to worship, we come to the spirits of just men made perfect. Hebrews 12, 23. This is the only appropriate way to view our anticipation of the fact that nothing unclean shall enter into God's presence, the heavenly city. Revelation 21, 27. However, when we appreciate the sanctification involves the whole person, including our bodies, then we realize that sanctification will not entirely be completed until the Lord returns, when we receive our new resurrection bodies. We await the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. And the Bible says it will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Philippians 3, 21. It is at his coming. That is in 1 Corinthians 15, 23. That will be made alive with a resurrection body. And then we shall fully bear. We shall fully bear the image of the man of heaven. We are slaves to sin prior to conversion. That there is a definite beginning to sanctification at the point of conversion. Sanctification should increase throughout the Christian life. And sanctification is made perfect even at our death. And let's close with this today. Sanctification is never completed in this life. And that is the fact of the study we've had. When Jesus commands us to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, Matthew 5, 48, this simply shows that God owns absolute morality. And he is the standard toward which we are to him, and the standard for which God holds us accountable. The fact that we are unable to attain that standard does not mean it will be lowered. Rather, it means that we need God's grace and forgiveness to overcome our remaining sins. Similarly, when Paul commands the Corinthians to make holiness perfect in the fear of the Lord, 2 Corinthians 7:1, or when he prays that God will sanctify the Thessalonians wholly, totally, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he is pointing to the goal that he desires that them to reach. It does not imply that any reach it, but only that this is the high moral that he desires them to reach. He does not teach that some of us have attained that already because we are still work in progress. Because actually the present tense Greek verbs are better translated as indicating is something that is continuing or habitual activity. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him. This is similar to John's statement a few verses later. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning. because he has been born of God. If these verses were taken to prove sinless perfection, they will have to prove it for all Christians, because they talk about what is true of every born of God, everyone who has seen Christ and known him. But these are verses encouraging us to shun the way of sin and to let the work of sanctification be perfected in our lives. In the New Testament, we find Jesus commanding his disciples to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us." Matthew 6:11-12. Just as the prayer for daily bread provides a model for a prayer that should be repeated each day, so the prayer for the forgiveness of sins is included in the type of prayer that we should pray each day as believers. Every day, we should ask God to forgive us our sins, because the closer we get to God, the more we become aware of our sinfulness, our weaknesses, and the way to repent. Moreover, as Christians grow in maturity, the kinds of sin that remain in our lives are often not so much of sins of words or deeds that are so outwardly noticeable to others, but there are equally inward sins of attitudes and motives of the heart. Desires such as pride and selfishness, sometimes lack of courage or lack of faith. It will be lack of zeal in loving the Lord with our whole hearts and even our neighbors as ourselves. Sometimes it is failure to fully trust God for all the promises that he has made for every situation. And these are equally sins. They show how far short we fall of the moral perfection of Christ. The more sanctified we are, the more conformed we become to the image of his Son, the more we must recoil against every lack of conformity to that holiness that God expects from us. The deeper our apprehension of the majesty of God, the greater the intensity of his love to us, the more persistent is yearning for the attainment of the price of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the more conscious we shall be of the gravity of the sins that remains, and the more poignant such can affect our lives. And we must detest such every day of our lives. It is my prayer the grace to constantly live for the Lord shall be released unto us in Jesus' name. Till I come your way next week, the family can take time now to reflect on what we have heard. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.